Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another week of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. Listen, there's no studio this week. There's no intro music. There's no interview or guest. Somehow, our team has allowed us to miss a couple of weeks. So I'm not terribly happy about that, Michelle. But again, I'm joined with Meredith. Hey, Meredith, what's
Hello,
up?
Hello, everyone.
So this week we got Meredith from the few classes that we've had recently. Meredith has seen a common trend of questions and common things that I've been talking about to the attendees at the retreat. So I wanted to share some of these things and share some of these things that we've been talking about on the side, you know, the side conversations, which is the ad hoc organic conversation. So Meredith, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so we've had a busy couple weeks. I mean, implant, sleep, ortho, sedation, and the retreat has just been exactly what you wanted, right?
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer
dentistry
to exactly
all night. Like, when do we even sleep? But one thing, well, a couple things I want to mention that people have asked me, I've heard them ask you, is, and actually this thing, I saw people's face light up.
Okay.
You were talking about, you know, there was a time in your life that made you change.
Yeah.
You know, 08 happened. You didn't have a choice but to make your office recession proof. And you were worried. You looked at all these guys who are successful, guys, girls, everyone who's successful, does well, but they're exhausted. They run a rat race every single day. And you said, you know, I'm concerned for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I haven't talked about this much when I'm speaking anymore.
I've never heard you mention this. So that's why when you did and I saw their faces, you said, I'm worried you'll never change.
Yeah.
You do well, but
I can't
be happy.
I mean, think anybody needs change.
Right.
You know, I don't think most dentists need change because, you know, dentistry is that profession where we make pretty good money. Certainly compared to the general public, we make good money. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a terribly complicated business to do a nice living. But I always believe that real change doesn't happen until you have a disruption.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different than the person that has a heart attack and the next thing you know, they lose 50 pounds because like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Right.
Or me getting slightly healthier because, you know, I got diagnosed with an A1C of 9.8. But truly, it probably won't be until, you know, something significant happens that I won't take my health truly seriously. And so for the last, let's say, 11 or 12 years, dentistry has seen unprecedented economic greatness. It's literally been open up an office, you know, take insurance, do dentistry,
watch it flourish.
And watch it flourish, right?
Yeah.
You know, barring that you don't do crazy things.
Right.
And, you know, our podcast listeners are good dentists that are doing good things because, you know, they're engaged in their businesses.
And willing to work hard. Like, yeah, everyone works really hard.
But that's
hard.
Part of the problem. Right. You know, that is part
you
of the problem.
You tell me that. And yeah. Too. Yeah, yeah. Like, we work too hard.
And what I'm afraid of is we were going to have a disruption, which was COVID. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because we shut down. A disruption, truly a disruption unlike anything we've ever. Okay? And unlike, you know, 2008, 2009 was a disruption, but COVID would have been a worse disruption. But our government came in and bailed us out. Right. And there's pluses and minuses to that. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm not trying to be political. But I think there's some negatives in that. And for those that have only been around for 10 or 12 years in dentistry, they've seen only great times. And I'm worried for them. I'm worried that they've built a practice around being able to be, how do I put this politely? Being able to be mediocre as a mm-hmm. business owner. And what I mean
having
by that.
Having a way out?
Well, I just mean mediocre. In other yeah. words, you can do anything almost right. and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, and what I'm afraid of is what may be coming. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not a negative Nelly. I'm not any of those things. But we are poised to have some level of economic downturn. We have to. We cannot continue to go up. It just doesn't work that way. And that economic downturn could just be a flat spot. Okay. It could be a dip. Or it, you know, maybe it just keeps going up. And I'm worried for people that have leveraged themselves too much, that have not built a recession-proof practice, mm-hmm. as you mentioned. And for me, that recession-proof practice was essentially four steps. You know, and I call it our Dentistry Made Simple framework. And that first step is accelerate, which is slow down to speed up. Okay, and that's about developing a fundamental patient buying journey. In other words, a case acceptance process that is universally applicable to all types of dentistry, whether it's more general dentistry. At one time, fewer well-planned visits, whether it's advanced dentistry or whether it's emotionally complicated dentistry, you know, like full arch cases and things like that. You know, a good patient buying process is fundamentally foundational to all those things. So I think that's the slow down to speed up. And part of that process is also scheduling. And I think you're going to ask some questions about that because that's been a common theme. That's step one. The step two of the framework is the revenue engines, working on the revenue engines in your practice. And that means like dental implants. That means like sedation. That means like sleep apnea, orthodontics, you know, third molar extractions, molar endo, you know, the services that you're not providing that you're sending out somewhere, or the services that you're not providing because you're not seeing it because you don't know how to, you don't have that skill set. So that's part of working on the revenue engine. And that's about learning clinical skills. And then the third part of the third step in the framework is going to be the scale phase. And I believe that we're going to live in a time where most dentists, if not all dentists, won't practice alone. And scaling to me isn't always, or isn't in my world, it's not about building multiple offices. It's about building a bigger single location practice, one that affords you more freedom and flexibility. You know, like I've talked about how I want to take a month off next year from June 15th to July 15th to do a golf trip with my son. And there is almost no way that I can take a month off if I'm a solo practicing dentist.
No.
You know, but having...
I don't know. COVID proved that you might could.
Right. Well, again, the government bailed us out.
Right.
Okay.
And
yeah. Or mentally, I wouldn't take a month off. Yeah. Right. So I think, you know, being able to do that really requires either you have to have...
Coverage.
You got to have some...
Yeah.
I think having an associate or a partner,
right.
either one... is a better way of doing that. And then the fourth step in our Dentistry Made Simple framework is the optimized step. And that's really about you're creating a running by itself machine. You know, that's about business automations. That's about modern technologies, business technologies. Mm-hmm. That's about, you know, exit strategy planning. That's about financial freedom and flexibility, retirement planning. That's about optimizing. So what I'm afraid of right now are people are in the rat race. Mm-hmm. They're running multiple chairs And then they're going to create something that doesn't, you know, a few years from now, doesn't look like anything like they used to. And as DSOs become bigger, you know, general dentistry is going to become commoditized. And if you're not playing in the non-general dentistry world, if you're not placing implants, not doing molar endo, not doing sedation, not doing orthodontics for your patients, not doing some of these things at a higher level, then you're going to be susceptible to market ups and downs. And so that's a long-winded answer to your question.
So I saw these doctors and their eyes just lit up like, so I didn't know I needed change. I think that's the main thing is I didn't know I wasn't, I just thought I was doing great, right? Yeah. I mean, my team, I like my team. We run, we like being busy. I just like to work. We're busy, busy, busy.
Well, people don't know any better.
Right. Once their eyes opened, they say, what's the first step? And of course you mentioned them and scheduling. I mean, we have to save for another day because I think we'd be here till midnight and it's like 7 a.m. but then last night, for example, we talked about financial arrangements, financial menus, how to make dentistry affordable. And I heard someone say, what do you mean? I take credit cards.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So I think there's two parts to affordability, as I like to call it. Okay. So to give some context, here's the challenge in dentistry. A lot of offices say my patients pay and I don't need affordability. And part of that is because they're not diagnosing well, okay? Or diagnosing completely or giving the patients a chance to do all their dentistry at once or giving the patients a chance to commit to all their dentistry at one time.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the reasons people don't need financing. Or the other reason, and I think this may be more prevalent, is...
They're not going to tell you. I think.
Well, that's part of it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Patients aren't going to tell you that they need financing.
They're not going to tell you, oh, I can't afford that. They're just going to say, I don't have the time right now.
Yeah, they're going to give you excuses. Mm-hmm. But I think what's also happened is enough practices have used third-party financing or enough team members have used it once or twice or a time in the past.
And it
hasn't worked for them.
Right.
And then they say, well, they don't approve anybody. And that's somewhat true. Right. And but I also say that maybe you're not working with the right companies, not companies. Right. And that's going to be part of the second point I want to make. Okay. The first point is I think to really be good at affordability, step one is you got to have a patient financing menu. You got to have a financial menu, okay? Mm-hmm. You got to have what I call firm financial arrangements. Step one is you got to have a financial menu, something that's easy for the team to fill out that automatically shows them all their options so that the patient can choose. I don't believe you should be asking patients these things. I don't think you should be waiting for patients to tell you. I think you should be transparent and upfront with patients that these are the different ways you can pay in our practice. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's you can pay upfront, with cash, check, credit card, whatever it is you take, or you can pay in installments, okay, and payment plans. So that's ultimately the importance of a financial menu, okay? Now, when it comes to the cash, check, credit card, that's self-explanatory. Right. Just a quick plug for our friends at Apex Payment Solutions. If you want to save some money on your credit card processing, give Zach a call at Apex Payment Solutions. But when it comes to patient financing, I don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all approach to patient financing and payment plans. So let me go through this real quickly. Well, no such thing as real quickly with me, okay? But let me go through this semi-briefly. You have to understand that ultimately there's different levels of payment plans. And what I mean by that is there's the patient that needs help with that $300-$500 up to maybe $1,500-$2,000 ballpark. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's a different type of patient financing because typically, frankly speaking, the person that needs payment plans at that level typically won't have the best credit. Because if they had great credit and a great job, they could write a check for $500 or swipe a card for $500 to $1,000. But so that's one inherent challenge there. Then there's, you know, what I call the real practice winning zone, which is understanding how to really make things affordable in that $1,000 to $3,000 ballpark. And that takes a different level of service and support from third-party financing or other financing options. Then there's the middle type cases, which is your $3,000 to $10,000 cases. And then there's your big case financing, which is your $10,000 plus. Mm-hmm. Now, I know I'm talking about a lot of things, but I'm trying to give context to it.
Break it down. So
there's not one solution that fits all of those. I think to be successful in making dentistry affordable for patients, you have to serve all those needs because it's not a one size fits all. So for example, I'm a big proponent in that $500 to $2,500 range that practice consider being the bank themselves. And I've talked about this ad hoc. I'm not talking about random payment plans. I'm not talking about nothing down. I'm not talking about truly being a bank. I'm talking about setting it up to where you're successful. And we can talk about that. You can read, watch, or listen to past episodes where I've talked about in-office payment plans.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
And Apex has options.
And Apex, you know, helps make that easier for the people. So I believe that that should be something people look at and give serious consideration to and experiment with.
Yes.
Now, for those that aren't comfortable or for those that don't want to extend themselves out or are incapable of extending themselves out, here are the different companies that we use in our practice. You know, our tried and true has always been CareCredit. Great company, have stood this test of time. A lot of companies have come and gone. CareCredit has been there for me at least 22 years now. I've been a dentist and I've used CareCredit in my practice for 22 years. And I can't tell you the number of companies that have come and gone. My challenge to CareCredit is they're going to have to make things a little bit easier. And one of the things they've done, and I don't know if you knew this, Meredith, but in Eaglesoft, there's a way with CareCredit to pre-approve patients just from your schedule using a soft credit check with their Eaglesoft integration. So things like that help so that you can know which patients are likely to get approved. Mm-hmm. But then there's a new company that we started work with called Sunbit. And they have a, you know, they what I love about them is they are very clear about the market they serve. They serve, and I don't know the exact details, but they serve up to like $6,000, $7,000. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're in the game of servicing customers who need financing up to $6,000. And their claim to fame, again, is that they will approve 80% of patients. But the cost of doing that is that for the less than ideal credit patients, the dentist has to pay a bigger fee in that. And I don't have an issue with that. To me, it's about doing the dentistry because the profit's in the dentistry. So Sunbit's an option. And so they fit in that small to medium sized case ballpark, you know, that $500 to, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 cases. And then when we get to the big case financing, I'm a big fan of Proceed and GreenSky because they build their product around big case financing. So that's the market that they're specifically trying to serve. So there's not a one size fits all. And this is where training, this is where understanding from your team and financial coordinator and your treatment coordinator becomes important, and having good communication skills to ask your patients. You know, Meredith, if you don't mind me asking, I know we need to look at payment plans. Do you have an idea of what kind of credit score you have? Or, you know, do you have good credit? And, you know, patients know, you know, and they'll say, you know, I have great credit. Great. Then we can look at care credit, or we can look at XYZ for you, you know. Or they may say, no, I don't have the best credit. Well, great. Then we need to look at a product like Sunbit for you. Right. Or you know, that's where these things come into play. And too many dentists try to have one solution, and then they get frustrated because it's not working as well as they would like. So that's my long-winded answer to that one.
Yeah, and I mean, we live in a world now where if you're not offering financing, even if it's not through the office, but I mean, you can go to Best Buy and get a TV for this per month, right? Yeah. So if you're not offering it, somebody else is, and that's putting a barrier for the patient, I think.
In fact, I think one of the best performing companies in has been a company called Affirm, A-F-F-I-R-M.
Yeah, because they are on every shopping website.
Right, because every shopping website has put Affirm as part of the checkout. And that goes to tell you how important payment plans are.
That's Peloton too.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. How does one buy a $3,000 bike?
Yeah. It's gone
like
down
a stationary bike.
It's gone down in price, okay?
Okay, or a $3,000 or $4,000 treadmill. You know,
but it's 0% interest it at scale. With a firm, and it comes out month like why?
Yeah. And do it at scale, right? It's one thing to sell it to people like me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can afford that.
Yeah.
Right? But they're not selling it to people. They're selling it to people like you, and I don't mean that offensively.
Right.
But you know, they're selling it to you because they can, I don't know, what is it, $50, $60, $70 a month?
$59 a month.
Yeah. And so they found a way to say, hey, to hit mass market, to hit real business profitability, we have to help customers make it affordable.
And then you have to pay for your membership separately.
On top of that, right? So anyway, that's
like $100 a month.
I feel like a broken record talking about patient financing and affordability over and over and over again. But the more I'm at the retreat, the more I'm talking to dentists that are coming here, the more I realize that they're just not looking at it the right way. And so if we can take a quick break here for a second.
Yes.
The 3D Bootcamp, okay? It's our new program for 2022. I want it to be immensely popular. It is such an important program to me personally.
I think it's basically what you've built your practice around.
It is 100% the main things I've focused on for 20 years is our patient. I'm trying to come up with a better name, but I call it the patient buying process. Mm-hmm. And that is understanding that case acceptance is about diagnosing, about communication, about affordability and scheduling.
Yeah.
So,
new patient experience is part of that too.
Yeah, new patient experience. The buying process, the patient experience, you know, a case acceptance experience process, right?
Yeah.
And we have built our practice from doing ideal single tooth dentistry to doing quadrant dentistry to doing half mouth dentistry to doing implants to doing ortho to doing sleep apnea to doing full arch implant cases has all built around this framework, that process, the patient journey process. So Meredith, for people that are interested, and look, I want to be very clear. It is not an inexpensive program, but it is not an expensive program. It is so worth the money. And it is going to be, I'm going to make sure that it is going to be a great experience for everybody involved. So what are the upcoming dates and how much is it so people know, Meredith?
So it is $74.95 for the team. That includes one doctor, including your retreat stay at the 3D Dentist Retreat. So you stay on site with the training center with 10 doctors. So we'll have late night dentistry chats, all that stuff. It includes a hygienist, an assistant, and a front office team member. Their food is included as well. They'll hang out at the retreat. Then we'll have all the team members stay at the hotel.
The hotel stay is not included, correct?
No, it's not. But I think it's like $100. Yeah. It's very inexpensive. So we will have everybody here I mean, that's going to be so much fun cooking for that many people.
I can't believe
I know. We have so much fun here. So it will be 2 full days. The doctors will stay at the retreat. It will include 3 team members. It's $74.95. I'm happy to split it up. Our next couple dates are January 27th and 28th, which is like halfway full. And then the next one will be June 23rd and 24th. So I think this is really important because I know a lot of doctors listen to this and they go, oh, I want to implement all these things. And I don't know how many people say this to you, but knowing that I was a past team member, a lot of times people ask my opinion on things and how I was trained. And I think something from the last mastermind was we were doing some like role playing hot seat kind of stuff. And somebody said to me afterwards, I don't know if my team members can do that. And I looked at them and I said, I could do that. I had zero dental training, zero. I mean, I started in your office while I was still in college. Yeah. So I knew nothing about teeth. And by the time, 2 years, not even 2 years in, I was doing consults the same way you were training them to do it. I said, it's all about you training them. So involving your team members and bringing your team members to something like this builds those team members up to what you want. But another thing people say to me is they'll have a conversation with you or I or Sully or Megan or Michelle about, you know, the payment plans and the financial options. And then they look at me and go, oh no, my team members aren't going to do that. They're not going to like that. And I'm like, so the last time I checked, your name was on the door.
Yeah.
And I don't like to say that. That's not nice. I mean, you know, you never say that to us.
It's hard for you to say that. Yeah.
But
I've said it a few times.
I can't believe that. I think one of the things you say, and you can extend on this, is like, if you make it important to you, it'll be important to them. Yeah. And you like subliminally did that for us. We didn't even know what you were doing, right? Remember you used to say
I might
things,
not have known what
right.
I was doing.
I mean, my favorite thing is like how you talked me into working at the front. You were like, it'll be great for your career.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, I don't want to do that. But how great. I mean, even in a different career path, it's still been great for me. So because you made it important to you, I felt like I had to do well in that role, right? Yeah. So you can kind of talk about how.
Yeah. You know, one of the sayings I have right now, when it becomes important to you, it becomes important to other people. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I think we send mixed messages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At one end, we say we want to grow and we want to do better types of dentistry. But then when there's an opening in the schedule, we say just fill it.
Right.
Right. And I don't think the two go hand in hand. Uh-uh. I think
it's counteractive.
It is because what happens is you're training team members just to plug holes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to show people how important it is to you. You know, and what I mean by that is here's the example I use. If you want to do 10 implants per month, the easiest way to do it, okay, is to make 10 implant blocks. And then tell your team members, we will do nothing but implants in those blocks or we will do nothing.
Right.
And then the magic will happen. Now, the runway for people will be different. For someone like me, it'll probably take me 2 to 3 months to get those spots filled because it'll be that important to me. My focus will be on making sure that those 10 spots each month are filled, that I'll do the marketing, I'll do whatever I need to do infrastructurally to make that happen. For others, it may take them a year to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by when somebody says, well, that sounds, I can't hold 10 spots open and not do anything. Then I go, it's not important enough to you.
Right.
You know, and that's what I mean by that. Because so now I want to make a caveat to this. When you're in survival phase, okay, mm-hmm. when you're in the early part of your career or divorce or bad things have happened to you and money literally, like you're living paycheck to paycheck or you're worried about your finances as a practice owner, you may not have the ability to do it to the extent that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to survival mode, you gotta do what it takes to pay the bills, but you can't let yourself stay in survival mentality forever. And that's what I think many practices have done is they've never exited the, my schedule's gotta be full. My schedule's gotta be full. Who cares what it's full with?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training. Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
So how do you think they start that? Maybe say their goal is 10 implants a month, but start blocking for 5?
Yeah. Well, it's a runway, right?
Right.
So if my let's use an example, right? Okay. It's September 2021. It's September 2021. And let's say my goal is, let's say I'm doing 1 or 2 implants randomly per month, okay? And I want to get to 5.
Okay.
Okay. 1 or 2 to 10 is a longer runway.
Right.
Okay. But let's say you want to get to 5 per month. And that's an important thing to you. The first thing I would say is, okay, all right, I want to be at 5 in a month, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's realistic. Okay. So then I would go ahead and say, look, right now I'm really averaging, I've done 12 this year. So I'm averaging 1.25, whatever it is. Right. So I would say, okay, step one is I'm going to block 1 per month, guaranteed time. Okay. Step two is month two, I'm going to start blocking. I'm going to block 2. Month three, I'm going to block 3. Month four, I'm going to block 5. Month six, I'm going to block more 5 again, right? Yeah. And so what I'm going to do
when
is...
those fill, continue.
And then they continue, right? And I'm going to make it so important that no matter what, that time is for an implant or nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's got to be a consequence for the nothing else. Okay. And for me, I know what the consequence is. The consequence for me is when there's nothing else there, I go sit with people. And no team member wants their dentist to sit there and watch them what they do. So I go hang out with my hygienist or my front office team because I sit with my assistants all the time anyway. So I go hang out and literally watch them work. And it makes everybody uncomfortable because nobody likes their quote unquote boss.
Yeah.
Watching what they do. And secondarily, it's very enlightening for me to see what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then they know how important it is. And they'll do whatever it takes to get you out of their hair.
Right.
And I go to them, it's easy. If you don't like me up here, you don't like me having these conversations, just fill me with the things I want to do.
Yeah.
And I'll go away. Mm-hmm. And then magically, it'll do that. Now, again, you can't go from zero to hero. It's got to be incremental. That's what I call the runway. And then you got to, you know, maybe you're in a position where you have to do some of the things, the infrastructure things, as I like to call it, to help make that happen. Maybe that's internal marketing. I don't believe in external marketing in the beginning. I believe in internal marketing at first. Maybe it's, hey, to do implants, I need technology and I don't have technology. You know, you can't magically make things happen, okay?
Yeah.
You got to have the tools. You got to have the skills, you know, you got to have all those things available. And that's really what 3D Dentist is about. It's about a place to help you with the business and clinical skills. And our focus is helping dentists overcome frustration, overwhelm, chaos, non-productivity by focusing on making the business and clinical side of dentistry more simple so dentists can win in practice and succeed in life.
Yeah.
And really that's my mission is to help people have a great life. Now, I do that by helping them win, you know, succeed at dentistry so they can win at life. You know, or you can go home and buy your way into happiness or whatever.
Or at least enjoy it.
Right.
So last night somebody said, well, what if they schedule a procedure that cost as much as implants, or if it's a certain dollar amount? And you said that's the difference between — this might take us down a scheduling rabbit hole for another day — but priority blocking versus or priority scheduling versus block scheduling.
So you said something earlier, Meredith. You said, what's the first step to making change in a chaotic practice? Yeah. And I believe the first step in making change is to adjust your schedule. I learned many times, from many different people, if you schedule it, it happens. For example, I got to go to my son's football game today, right? The first, if, like, you know, it's important to me when I put it in my schedule.
On your calendar.
Because then everybody around me knows. You'll know, Kelsey will know.
And then I said, you can't miss that. And you said, I know, that's why I put it on my calendar.
That's why I put it on my calendar, right?
And so
for dentists, maybe they don't have a life outside of their practice like I do, where it's just chaotic all the time, or a lot going on. But
I think most people do.
Maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be all over the place.
That's the problem. But you have three kids too.
But I think the first step is the schedule, okay? Yeah. Now, traditionally in the 80s and 90s, what worked amazingly well, and it still works today, was the concept of block scheduling. Now, what I'm trying to do, and hopefully one day I'll be remembered for this too, you know, is — nobody remembers who developed block scheduling. I don't know. But I want to modernize block scheduling to what we term priority scheduling. And the difference in priority scheduling and block scheduling fundamentally is, block scheduling was all about rock, paper, scissors. No, it was all about rock, sand, and water based on dollar amount productivity.
Right.
And I've decided that a $4,000 in fillings isn't the same as $4,000 in implants, even if somebody paid me $1,000 a filling, you know.
The fulfillment, right.
Priority scheduling is about fulfillment. That's a great way to put it. Priority scheduling is about the fulfillment in your career. And that's what I mean by making blocks for implants. I didn't say make blocks with $3,000 procedures.
Right.
I said make blocks for implants.
Yep.
Like, we have a block every month for a hybrid case.
Yeah.
We have blocks every month for a smile design case. You know, because those things are important to me. That's the type of dentistry I want to do. So we prioritize times for those blocks. And it's amazing. It's just this psychology of it that your team members know, that's his time for surgery.
Because that's what you make important to you.
So what becomes important to you becomes important to other people.
And when we talk about that, we always seem to use scheduling as an example. But I think for those people who aren't ready to change their schedule, or are in survival mode, or scared to block a little bit, you can use this in different ways, right? Like, so say the financial menu, you exclaim that that's important to you.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the week, have your team members — how many people did you present treatment to? How many did you give a financial menu to?
Yeah.
And that's kind of changing what they're doing, but you're also making it important to you. I think you're not huge on how much did we present and how much was accepted. Yes, we track that, but you always say, well, there's no way we're presenting everything. We're not presenting enough, blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, well, we're presenting this percentage. That's not enough. You want it to be lower, right? Because
I want my case acceptance to be lower.
Because you want us to be presenting more.
That's correct.
So that's not your best way of tracking, but to say how many people, when you're just getting started on a financial menu, how many people are you presenting that to, would be a good way to make that important to you.
Yeah. So, you know, give an example and then we'll button this up a little bit, is one of the things I wanted to be important to Crystal as a hygiene treatment coordinator is I started having her tell me how many patients does she see out of hygiene each day.
Right.
And amazingly, that number just slowly started going up, because every single day I asked her, tell me your number for today. How many people do you see out of hygiene? She goes, one. And I go, so you're telling me out of 16
all
patients
day
in hygiene today, only one of them needed to see you for treatment. And she said, I said, so why is that? Well, I was on the phone with this. Okay, okay. So now now the coaching can begin, right? Yeah. All right, so then you need to make it a priority. Like, I think it's more important for you to take care of those two hygienists than it is to answer this phone.
Right.
Let me talk to somebody else about making sure they answer the phone. This is your priority. This is what's important to you. And the number has slowly crept up. Right. And then we got to a point where I'm like, why are you seeing so many?
Yeah.
Right. And then she said, well, now they're bringing me everything. So then we went and coached the hygienist about, hey, listen, when it's simple treatment plans, you guys present the treatment.
Right.
Okay. So again, what, and to use your example, it's not always scheduling. It's whatever action you want somebody to make, mm-hmm. until you make it important to them or to yourself, it doesn't become important. Right. And what I, again, that's the accountability. Ask somebody every single, like I've one of the things that was important for me for you was for you to slowly start the meetings when mm-hmm. we do programs here, yeah. and to do the strategy calls, right?
Yeah.
So I just keep asking you about it every yeah. single day, right? Did you do any today? Did you do any yeah. today? And then if you ask enough, you realize, oh my God, this guy's not going to leave me alone until I do it, right? And then it becomes important. And next thing you know, you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and I call that the concept of boiling them slowly. Mm-hmm. We can talk about this stuff forever yeah. and ever, but that's why you guys love our podcast.
Right.
That's why I
love
getting...
to give another option, because it's not always... We always use scheduling.
Right. But the scheduling is the most important thing.
It is the most important. Yeah. But for those that aren't ready or those that are in survival mode.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what to do.
There's other options.
I'm like, get out. Stop spending.
Other ways
I don't think people
important.
Have an income problem. I think they have a spending problem. Well, my dad used to always tell me that.
Well, that's true.
My dad says, you don't have any money. You don't have an income yeah. problem. You have a spending problem. And that stuck with me. But so he said, but at the
but
same.
But thankfully your patients do too. Because yeah, they're spending.
Right. But you know, what's interesting to me, he didn't tell me to save money. He said to learn how to make more money.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he never said that you can save your way out of trouble,
right?
But you can earn your way out of
yeah,
trouble.
Yeah, they say you don't need to stop buying Starbucks. You need to make more.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, easy to say, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, easy to say. Everybody, thank you so much. Sorry we missed a couple of weeks. We may be a little hit or miss for the next few weeks because I'm going to get some things changed up around here so that we can get the podcast back on track.
Stay tuned for some exciting announcements.
Yeah, so we're going to have some new things on the podcast for 2022 and stuff. And thank you guys for your support. If you could leave us a review, if you could send us some questions, if you could help other people know about the podcast, that would be fantastic. I appreciate all you guys and look forward to seeing you around. Thank you.